This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Cluster B personality disorders are characterized by dramatic, overly emotional, and unpredictable thoughts and behavior. From Ars Longa Media, this is Cluster B, scientifically informed, expert insights into the four Cluster B personality types, antisocial, borderline, narcissistic, and histrionic personality disorder. Here's today's host, Dr. Todd Grande.
Hello, this is Dr. Grande. Today's question asks if I can describe the humor styles and the comic styles. Another question I have here is, what comic styles would be associated with Cluster B personality pathology? So, antisocial, narcissistic, borderline, and histrionic personality disorders. Now, humor styles are actually fairly interesting. They're not the same thing as having a sense of humor. Having a sense of humor is about appreciation of humor, whereas humor styles are intrapsychic and interpersonal constructs that tend to manifest themselves in interpersonal situations or in order for somebody to protect themselves. So in terms of the humor styles, there are four main ones. And then we have the comic styles, which I'll explain after the humor styles. And we see eight of those. And there's some differences, of course, between them I'll talk about. So first I'll look at the humor styles, take a look at the comic styles, and then I'll take a look at how the comic styles relate to Cluster B personality pathology. So now going through the four humor styles, we have self-enhancing, affiliative, self-defeating, and aggressive. So all these styles are ways that humor is used to enhance something. So with self-enhancing, it's used to enhance oneself. With affiliative, it's used to enhance one's relationships with others. With self-defeating, it's used to enhance relationships at the expense of oneself. And with aggressive, it's used to enhance relationships at the expense of others. The first two, self-enhancing and affiliative, are considered to be adaptive. And the last two, self-defeating and aggressive, are considered to be maladaptive. So just to give you an idea of what's kind of captured with these humor styles, I'm going to go through each one and just give one item that we would see endorsed on an instrument that measures humor styles, right? So if somebody's taking a test and trying to determine what their humor style would be. So it's self-enhancing, an item that would be endorsed. If I'm feeling depressed, I can usually cheer myself up with humor. With affiliative, I don't have to work very hard at making other people laugh. I seem to be a naturally humorous person. With self-defeating, I let people laugh at me or make fun at my expense more than I should. When I first read about this style a while back, I couldn't help think of Rodney Dangerfield, right? His whole comic style is kind of based around this self-defeating humor. And then with aggressive, if I don't like someone, I often use humor or teasing to put them down, right? So we see that, again, in general, the first two types are considered positive, associated with better outcomes, self-enhancing and affiliative, and self-defeating and aggressive are connected to decreased relationship satisfaction, violence, risk-taking, and decreased social acceptance. These two styles are also connected to symptoms of major depressive disorder, generalized anxiety disorder, loneliness, and they've been connected to suicidal ideation. So these four humor styles don't represent the basic flavors, types, or distinctive qualities of humor. Rather, the styles are compounds of humor behaviors. So really, they are humor functions at a more general level of abstraction. None of the humor styles connect to an established category of humor. This brings me to the lower level styles, sometimes called the comic styles. We could think of this level of style as more granular than the humor styles. The lower level styles are fun, humor, nonsense, wit, sarcasm, cynicism, satire, and irony. Now, the reason these comic styles are important to the field of counseling is because they're thought of as levels that can be modified. Somebody can work to develop these comic styles, whereas changing one's humor style is generally thought of as more difficult, like changing one's personality would be difficult. So let's take a look at the comic styles. Again, we have eight here. I'm dividing them into four and four. The first four are the lighter styles, and the last four are the darker styles. So starting with the lighter, the first one is fun. So fun is aimed at spreading good mood and building cooperation between friends. People using this style are social, jovial, and agreeable. They picture themselves as mischievous jokers, playing harmless tricks on friends and acting in a clown-like manner. The next style is humor. The purpose of humor is to increase understanding of how life can be unfair, how people aren't perfect. Individuals with humor are realistic observers of human flaws, but treat people nicely, and they include themselves in the judgment they make about other people. Humor reflects a tolerant and loving attitude. It facilitates the acceptance of shortcomings. Humor looks at everything that is going wrong and says, it's still okay to laugh. The next style is nonsense. Now, this style is intellectual and playful. We see a creative use of language with it. Incongruities in the world do not have to be fixed, but rather the more absurd they are, the funnier they are. People who use this style tend to find amusement in fantastic, unusual, and bizarre stories. So this brings me to the last of the lighter comic styles, and this is wit, even though, of course, wit does have some darker elements to it. Individuals who are witty like to play with words and thoughts. They might lack empathy toward victims in order to maximize the impact of their humorous statements. Wit requires that somebody can quickly comprehend situations and point out non-obvious matters in a funny way. So we see spontaneous and surprising, accurate judgments of current issues. People who are witty take seemingly disconnected ideas and show how they could be related, creating amusement in the process. Individuals who use wit tend to take themselves seriously and look for an educated audience that would appreciate their humor style. This brings me to the darker comic styles. I'll start with sarcasm. Someone who is sarcastic would be described by an outside observer as aggressive, hostile, and derisive. They attempt to expose the nature of a corrupt world, which is actually part of a few of the comic styles. The ideal audience for someone who is sarcastic would be those who are subordinate and dependent. Those scoring high with this style are prone to schadenfreude, so they tend to take pleasure in other people's pain. Now moving to cynicism, here we see someone who tries to devalue commonly recognized values. Cynics manifest a destructive and negative attitude. In order to point out the flaws in the world, they use mockery and disillusionment. High scorers in this style have a disdain for common moral concepts and societal norms, finding them ridiculous, unnecessary, and invalid. But interestingly, they do not tend to lack moral values themselves. Cynicism is tied to one of the dark triad traits, specifically Machiavellianism.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Greetings from Evergreen Podcasts. We're rolling out a listener survey, and we want to hear from you. The information in the survey will help us gather statistics and in turn make our shows more appealing to advertisers. I know most people don't like ads, but this is one of the only ways our shows make money and help keep their lights on. We promise it will only take a few minutes, but the impact on our podcasts will be tremendous. As a token of our appreciation, we'll randomly select one lucky participant each month to win an exclusive merchandise package from Evergreen Podcasts. head to evergreenpodcast.com/listener survey to help a show and possibly get some free stuff for doing so. We can't thank you enough for the support. Now back to the show.
Now moving to satire. Satire is also referred to as corrective humor. Now, just like sarcasm and cynicism, it has this component of trying to expose flaws. But satire is not nearly as dark. The style does tend to deprecate those who make poor decisions, but the intent is to improve the world, to offer people a chance to correct inappropriate behavior. Someone scoring high with this comic style comes across as superior, negative, critical, and tense, but tries to use the ridicule to help other people. Critical thinkers tend to like satire, thinking of satire as good when they see others using it. Satire calls attention to a need to change less than useful behavior without destroying interpersonal relationships. So again, we see it's really less dark and destructive than sarcasm and cynicism. Last of the dark comic styles is irony. Someone who uses this style tries to say things differently than they mean it. So we see here there's an attempt to create a mutual sense of superiority. So it's really not about lying, because someone using this style assumes that intelligent people will understand what was actually meant, regardless of what was said. So the idea with irony is to create a disparity between those who are smart and those who are not. So irony simultaneously courts the intelligent and mocks the unintelligent. In a sense, it's used to detect those who are knowledgeable and informed. Those who use irony are often seen by others as superior, negative, critical, and conceited. So we see overlap here with narcissism. So how do we see these comic styles across the population? Let's take a look at a few constructs and see how they relate to these styles. If we look at something like gender, we see that men score higher in all the comic styles except for humor. But the strongest relationships are really with cynicism, satire, and sarcasm. When we look at age, we see that younger people tend to have the styles of cynicism, sarcasm, and irony, whereas older people tend to have humor. Looking at a few other factors, education, higher educational levels are associated with wit and irony. Looking at intelligence, the only style tied to intelligence is wit, and it's a positive correlation. But even there, it's only tied to verbal intelligence, not numerical or spatial. We see that individuals in long-term relationships tend to score higher in nonsense than those who are divorced and widowed. So I don't know why this strikes me as funny. Nonsense is just another one of the humor styles, but when I was putting that together, I just thought that was unusual that there would be that relationship. Those who lived in a residence with other people score higher in fun and humor than those who live alone. And this brings me to personality. What is the relationship between personality and the comic styles? I'm going to use the five-factor model here. I remember this model through the acronym OCEAN: openness to experience, conscientiousness, extroversion, agreeableness, and neuroticism. So we see five big traits of personality. So starting with openness, we see that openness to experience is positively correlated with fun, humor, nonsense, wit, and satire. It has the strongest relationship with wit. Moving to conscientiousness, interestingly, conscientiousness is weakly negatively correlated with all of the comic styles. The strongest negative relationship is with nonsense. So people with a high level of conscientiousness would have a low level of nonsense. This sort of makes sense. Moving to extroversion, we see extroversion is strongly correlated with fun, humor, nonsense, satire, and wit, and the strongest relationship is with fun. Then with agreeableness, we see a strong negative correlation with sarcasm, cynicism, irony, and satire. The strongest negative relationship is with sarcasm. So those who are low in agreeableness or disagreeable would tend to have those comic styles. We also see a strong positive relationship with humor. So people who are agreeable would have more humor. This brings me to neuroticism. In the study I'm using here, I'll put the reference to it in the description for this video, we see they used emotional stability, which is the other side of neuroticism. So I had to flip this around in terms of the correlations to capture neuroticism. We see a strong negative correlation between neuroticism and humor, fun, wit, and nonsense. So people who are neurotic tend to avoid those styles. We saw a weak positive correlation with sarcasm. So if somebody was neurotic, they would tend to use sarcasm. So if we take these findings, how the comic styles relate to personality, can we use this to look at what the cluster B personality disorders might have in terms of these comic style tendencies? And the answer, of course, is yes. So looking at cluster B, I'll start with antisocial personality disorder. Based on what we know between the comic styles and personality, we would expect somebody with this disorder to lack humor and to have a tendency to be sarcastic and cynical, and not really much of an attempt to use wit. This really makes sense given the manipulation and deception components we see with this disorder. Moving to narcissistic personality disorder. Now, this particular disorder captures grandiose narcissism, so we see sarcasm, cynicism, as well as fun, humor, and wit. Now, in my experience, in terms of what I see working in a clinical setting, usually individuals with this disorder attempt to express humor and wit, but they lack the insight and they lack the empathy to succeed at it, right? So the desire to express this comic style would be there, but the ability to complete it successfully is often not there. The comic styles are not going to have the intended effect when people are offended by the behavior of the individual who's trying to express the styles. And of course, this is what we often see with narcissistic personality disorder. They tend to be arrogant, condescending, and manipulative, and they offend people. So when they try to use fun, humor, and wit, it kind of falls flat. Now moving to borderline. Now, the personality traits with borderline are somewhat similar to vulnerable narcissism. Again, narcissistic personality disorder captures the grandiose side. Borderline, to some extent, captures the vulnerable side. So here we see an individual that would tend to lack humor, fun, and wit, and may tend to use sarcasm. In my clinical experience with borderline personality disorder, often there's a lack of appreciation for humor in general. So there may be an underlying comic style, but it really doesn't get expressed because of the tumultuous circumstances caused by the disorder. The comic styles with borderline personality disorder are more evident when somebody's not under stress, when they're not dealing with a romantic partner and having like anger and aggression and other kind of destructive emotions. So there is an opportunity for the expression of the comic style. But again, there's just interference when we see a lot of symptoms. Now moving to the last cluster B personality disorder, this is histrionic. So here we see a tendency toward fun, humor, nonsense, wit, and satire. And we would see somebody who tends to avoid irony, sarcasm, and cynicism. What I see in my clinical experience as far as histrionic personality disorder is there is an attempt to use wit, but just like with narcissistic personality disorder, the lack of insight makes it challenging to effectively use wit. One last question I'll try to answer here that I've been asked many times. Is humor good in counseling? Like, should counselors try to use humor with clients? Well, interestingly, what we see in the research literature suggests that humor doesn't make much of a difference in terms of the outcome of counseling. And in that same research, we see that honesty doesn't either, right? So two really surprising findings. I would think that humor and honesty would both be very positive. Humorous counselors tend to be perceived more negatively and are considered less empathic than non-humorous counselors. Laughter and humoristic interventions have been found by some researchers to actually result in less understanding and insight in clients. So surprising findings as far as humor. I was really thinking about this a little bit. Mental health counseling is a very serious business. And when people come in to see a counselor, they want help with the symptoms. They want help meeting their goals. So I think what happens is if the counselor seems too comical, it's like they're not taking the client seriously, right? There's something to be said for a serious demeanor, somebody who kind of sits there and appreciates the gravity of how much these mental health symptoms hurt, how much pain they cause people. Now, I think in a longer counseling relationship, like if a counselor is seeing somebody for 6 weeks, 12 weeks, 20 weeks, something like that, I think humor makes a lot more sense. And the research does support this somewhat, that the effect of humor, the small positive effect it does have in some situations, is more visible over the long run. So it's really about a counselor making sure they have the right relationship before attempting to express something humorous in a counseling session.
For more content like this, check out Healthy Toxic, another podcast from Ars Longa Media, all about what makes or breaks relationships, including issues related to narcissism, narcissistic abuse, and how personality disorders affect relationships. Ars Longa, Vita Brevets. Learn more at arslonga.media.
Science, science, science! Hello, podcast fans. Want to get weird with us? Come check out the Mad Scientist Podcast. We are a weekly show that looks at the history, philosophy, and hard facts behind your biggest paranormal questions.
Did the government really pay for a psychic spy program?
Yes!
Is it true that surgery got its start in grave robbing?
Yes!
Can a roller coaster really kill you?
Legally, we can't say so for sure, but sometimes, yes! Mm. Join myself, Chris Cogswell, and my co-host, Marie Mayhew, as we examine the science, philosophy, and history behind the strange and unusual. All to discover what's possible and plausible versus what's, well, just made up. Check us out wherever you find your favorite podcasts. The Mad Scientist Podcast.